You're listening to Crown Point High School Bulldogs Halftime Show on USA-365.com. And welcome back to Crown Point High School. Dave Woodworth here at halftime, where the Crown Point Bulldogs hold a 14-0 lead over the Chesterton Trojans. And a decent Crown Point crowd out here for the final regular season home game, as the Crown Point Royal Regiment is about ready to perform here at halftime. And I believe they are introducing the appearance of some of the Royal Regiment members as well. I think the seniors are being recognized. Let's recap the scoring here. First of all, in the first half, Crown Point was first to get on the scoreboard in the first quarter on an 8-play, 51-yard drive that was capped off on a 28-yard pass from Grayson Link to Tyler Gomez, 28 yards. Extra point kick by Ben Frederick was good with a minute 53 to go in the first quarter play. That was a 3-minute-and-7-second time possession on that drive. Then Crown Point scored again early in the second quarter. Actually, their very first possession of the second quarter, starting at the Chesterton 41-yard line. And they were able to punch it in on 10 plays after 4 minutes and 15 seconds of possession time. It was capped off on a 2-yard run by Griffin Govert from the 2-yard line. Extra point kick by Ben Frederick, also good. Crown Point goes up 14-0, and that's the way the first half ended. That's where we are, 14-0. Crown Point had a chance there to maybe go up by a third touchdown when a punt was blocked by Crown Point with about a minute 10 to go. But on the very next play, after a pass completion from Grayson Link to, to Mark Knox, who had caught a couple of, to Ben Frederick. He had caught a pass earlier. He was hit and fumbled the ball. It was recovered at the Chesterton 4-yard line. And then Chesterton was able to run out the clock successfully by getting a first down and getting out of that hole. Some observers thought that perhaps one of the Chesterton runners, running backs, was tackled for safety, but that was not to be the case. Louis Razzo looked like he might have been tackled in the end zone, but apparently he's tackled there just across the goal line, maybe at the one-half-yard line or thereabouts. Statistically, these are very unofficial, of course. I had Grayson Link with 7 out of 11 passes, 411 yards and one touchdown. And Tyler Gomez, 6 carries for 7 yards, but also the 28-yard touchdown pass reception. Griffin Govert had the 2-yard touchdown plunge. Grayson Link, 4 carries for a loss of 4 yards, including a couple of sacks there. Shane McCormick had one reception for 17 yards, and Tyler Jones had one reception for 10. Mark Knox with 2 receptions totaling 30 yards, and Ben Frederick 2 receptions for 26 yards. So there we have the stats for Crown Point. Let's take a look at what we had for Chesterton. Not a lot of statistics there to talk about. Unofficially, Corey Boren 0 for 3 passing, no yards. Louis Razzo, 5 carries for a net of minus 5 yards. Jared Schudick, 7 carries for a net of about 10 yards. Corey Boren, they're actually the most successful ball carrier. He was sacked once for a loss of 5. He ended up with a net of 7 carries for 27 yards. And, of course, wow, I guess that's about it, isn't it? Because there were no passing statistics. Numerous penalties there, and they had a turnover fumble recovery for Chesterton. But no pass interceptions thrown by Grayson Link. All right, we'll take timeout right now and check in with the Commissioner's Corner with Bobby Cox talking here at halftime on USA-365.com.
It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, an exclusive weekly update from the IHSAA Commissioner himself, Bobby Cox. Now for the inside scoop on what's happening day to day with the IHSAA. Here's Coach Bob Lovell with Commissioner Bobby Cox.
Filling in for Bob Lovell on the Commissioner's Corner, this is Greg Rakestraw. But the star of the show is here, the Commissioner of the IHSA and Bobby Cox. And Bobby, we're going to spend some time talking about upcoming fall championships, but one is already in the books. It was nearly a record-setting day as far as how low the scores went. Your thoughts about the Girls Golf State Championship that just completed at Prairie View this past weekend.
We had a great championship, Greg, and congratulations to Evansville North on their third straight championship. We battled some weather, had over 3 hours of delays throughout the two-day tournament, but kudos to our friends at Prairie View Golf Club, Doc O'Neill and his staff. A tremendous job of keeping the golf course playable, and just a great championship and great play. And you're right, the records were falling. When it rains like that, the golf course becomes a little defenseless, and, you know, all of a sudden we got kids shooting low numbers, so it was a great tournament.
The pairing show on Sunday, both for radio and television for football. Your thoughts about Sunday afternoon and evening for the IHSAA?
Both the radio and television shows were outstanding, and my thanks to you and your crew, as well as our television partners, for a great day of revealing the pairings. And we've got some excellent first-round games. I'm excited about the tournament. I hope we can get some decent weather for the tournament so our fans can get out and support these young people playing. But it's going to be a fabulous tournament, some great matchups right out of the hopper, and we hope to get through the whole week and have some good ball games.
All right, now let's talk about tournaments that are in progress, and they're all kind of in different stages. Let's start with boys tennis. I know they're already hitting semi-state weekend coming up on Saturday.
That's right. You've got 16 schools left in the semi-states are going to play this weekend around the state at four various sites, and we'll pare that number down to eight, and we'll bring those schools to Indianapolis and have a Friday and Saturday the following week. A lot of the usual suspects, but a couple of new ones as well, and that's always good to get some teams in the semi-state that haven't been there in a while. You know, as I always say, those kids don't get there by losing, so they've got to be pretty good tennis players, and it'll be an interesting tournament moving forward when we get to Indianapolis in a little over a week now.
And just from the Central Indiana perspective, some of those usual suspects include Carmel and North Central and Park Tudor. But also from this area, a first-time sectional winner and a first-time regional winner will be the Franklin Grizzly Cubs, some of that new blood that you talk about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know those kids are excited and their families are excited, and it's new territory for them. But, you know, you just got to go out and play your game and let them fall as they will. And they, you know, like I said, they didn't get there by losing, so they got to be pretty decent.
Fingers crossed. Pretty decent also describes the weather forecast over this weekend and even long-term into next weekend as well, which maybe even more so than other sports with tennis. Unless you've got indoor courts available, you got to have that great weather. So we keep our fingers that that trend continues. On another sport where you can go in the rain, update us as to the status of the cross-country tournament at this point.
Well, our cross-country tournament begins this Saturday with 32 sites around the state, and we'll culminate that tournament in three more weeks after this week at the Laverne Gibson Championship Cross-Country Course in Terre Haute. We'll have 24 schools that will advance to the finals and a collection of individuals, a little over 200-plus individual or kids running in each of those girls and boys races, and it's a tremendous venue, a great tournament. And again, we hope for good weather, and even if we don't, you know, those kids are used to running in the tougher conditions, and I think it'll be a great series for cross country, and maybe we'll get fortunate and have some great conditions.
Every time that we talk about a state championship facility, we get to brag on it, and we can do that with the Gibson course over in Terre Haute because it only happens to be good enough for the NCAA to host their championships there too.
Very frequently, actually, NCAA's run their national championship in Division I, II, and III there multiple times. The folks in Terre Haute School Corporation, the folks at Indiana State, the Convention and Visitors Bureau there in Terre Haute, great support to the IHSA. You know, I'm a little bit prejudiced, but I think our state championship cross country is one of the best in the country, and it certainly gets great support from those groups.
And last but not least, a tournament that will wrap at a place that I know quite well, because I'm there about 25 times a year, be it for Indy 11 or for college soccer. Michael A. Carroll Soccer and Track Stadium is where the state championship for boys and girls soccer will be on Saturday, October the 29th. But sectional play is underway this week, correct?
Sectional play is underway, and we're progressing through those tournament games, and we have not had any issues so far. And we're hopeful that, you know, we don't have any injuries or anything happen to kids and that continue to play. And we move through the tournament. And you're right, Greg, the Carroll Stadium is a fantastic venue for our soccer championships. They've made wonderful improvements on behalf of Indy 11. We certainly appreciate the support of Indy 11 and what they've done there for that stadium. And it's a great venue for high school soccer, and we're looking forward to the championships on the same day as the cross-country championships, October 29th.
Bobby, as always, thanks for the time. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
All right, that was the Commissioner's Corner with IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox here on USA-365.com and IndianaSports.com. Okay, it's halftime here at Crown Point, where the Bulldogs hold a 14-0 lead over the Chesterton Trojans as the Crown Point Royal Regiment plays some music in the background. Frank, you've got some scores from elsewhere around the region.
Yeah, we do. As Mark Smith, kind enough to join us. Hello, Mark. Good to see you, buddy. Let's take a look at games outside the DAC. Of course, we're monitoring what is happening at Ames Field right now. LaPorte and Michigan City literally playing for the DAC title. The LaPorte Slicers on the road at the half, leading the Michigan City Wolves 21-7. We'll keep you updated on that game throughout the night. Also in the DAC, the Lake Central Indians with a 6-0 lead over the Maryville Pirates on the road. That came in the second quarter. Last score we had from Portage at Valparaiso, 7-7 tie and the first between the two schools. Out of the Northwest Crossroads Conference, the Lowell Red Devils appear to be in the form that many people expected, leading the Munster Mustangs 20-3 at the Inferno, 4-1 in the second out of Northwest Crossroads Conference. Andrean leading Griffith 21-7 at half. And the Kankakee Valley Krugers on the road leading Highland 13-7 with 2:41 in the second quarter. At halftime, as we switch to the Greater South Shore Conference, 20-6, South Central Union Mills leading at home over Hanover Central. That game at the half. At the half, River Force and Calumet tied up at 7. And Whiting leading Bishop Knoll 28-13. We do not know where that game is except the score. One game of non-conference action featuring Great Lakes and an independent school, East Chicago Central leading Bowman Academy 35-0. That game being played at East Chicago Central. East Chicago Central, though, is the designated home team in that game. And a quick and an interesting tidbit surrounding that LaPorte of Michigan City game. It sold out 7 hours before the game started. My goodness, you talk about such an impact and such interest. The first time that has happened in Ames Field, and we're going to be there next week. It's a beautiful facility, certainly can hold a lot of people, but Ames Field, standing room only tonight, watching the LaPorte Slicers leading the Michigan City Wolves 21-7 at the half. Mark Smith joining us here as well, 14-0 the Bulldogs with the lead as we go to the second half momentarily over the Chesterton Trojans. The Crown Point Royal Regiment making their way to the near sideline, doing a fine job as the Chesterton Trojans coming back onto the field in their white jersey tops, burgundy slacks, burgundy numerals front and back, burgundy helmets, making their way from the northeast portion of the field. I'm Frank Sprinkle. Let's give you a quick score and recap. Steve Woodworth already gave it to you, but 28 yards, the first score of the game, a 28-yard dump-off from Grayson Link to Tyler Gomez, point after good, and a 2-yard touchdown run by Griff Gobert in the second quarter, point after good on both occasions, 14-0, the Bulldogs with the lead. If you look at this first quarter, the Bulldogs obviously marching downfield, putting points on the board, doing a fine job, but this tonight, 55 degrees outside, different from what we saw last week against the LaPorte Slicers. Interesting, we have not seen the Wildcat. It seems that with the rain last week, we saw the Bulldogs run a lot of the Wildcat, but not quite the case today. Running the offense, looking confident against a struggling Chesterton Trojans team that is in dire straits of dropping their sixth game of the season. Not only their sixth game of the season, but their sixth game in the DAC. We should tell you that the Bulldogs will be on the road next week. We will follow them as well to Michigan City. 7 o'clock with the kickoff from Abe's Field. We'll be on with a 6:30 pregame. And then we get a bye week. Boy, a guessing game. What should I do on my bye week? What should we all do on our bye week? But a bye week for the Bulldogs as well as all Class 6A teams before coming back home to face the Bulldogs, or for the before the Bulldogs face the Lake Central Indians 3 weeks from today. So if you've not had a chance to come out to Bulldog Turf this year, you will in 3 weeks when the Bulldogs play the Lake Central Indians in a sectional opener on October 28th. Frank Sprinkle, Dave Woodworth, and Mark Smith, kind enough to join us. Mark, good to see you, buddy, on a cool night downfield. And the Chesterton Trojans, look, I guess we knew the LaPorte Slicers last week, a tough opponent for the Crown Point Bulldogs. But you face the Chesterton Trojans, a team that has had struggle and clearly playing like they have. The Bulldogs not having a problem with the boys from Porter County tonight.
Well, this was it was an opportunity. I don't know if this is true. I've never asked the boys, but I think when your state tournament draw comes out, you are either encouraged or discouraged based on who you drew. Now, if you drew like Ben Davis or Warren Central, you would say, "Wow, you know, the writing's on the wall." But Crown Point drew Lake Central, a team they had beaten. Now, Lake Central might be better next time. You never know. But I think that's a little encouraging. So then you come into a game, and the boys all got the Internet. And they know Chesterton has lost 5 in a row. I said, well, they're not doing very well. Hey, maybe we can win this one. Maybe we can win the next one. Then we got a week off, and we go in the playoffs. All of a sudden, your 2-5 record doesn't mean anything because you feel better. And there's a good amount of enthusiasm on the Crown Point sideline tonight, and they scored a touchdown on the pass to Tyler Gomez. And they're feeling good down there right now. Now, truth be told, they probably should have scored more than 14 in the first half, and this game is not quite yet over. But they're really dominating Chesterton. Then the Trojans just haven't found a quarterback. They've struggled all year. I think they've tried 3 different boys. And you see a couple of them going in and out tonight, and it's just not working at this point.
Right.
Bulldogs get the kick to start the second half, and if they score on the first possession, you know, this game's pretty much done. Now, I'm not saying that they will, but if they do, I think they'll be coasting the rest of the night.
And one thing that, Mark, the Bulldogs should be feeling confident about is they're getting some key starters back at the right time. Tyler Gomez coming back last week. Nate Darche on the outside linebacking spot. We haven't seen him since week 2. He's back. So the Bulldogs also returning to full health.
We're about ready to go. I did want to mention that Crown Point made an interesting hire this last week. They got a young man who I thought had retired, Coach Pete Usage of Lowell, is going to be the new girls' softball coach. I was not aware that Ginger Britton, who was the coach, and her family moved to Indianapolis and did not come back. She didn't went back to school this year. Pete Usage coached 28 years at Lowell. He's in the Indiana High School Coaching Hall of Fame. Went to the state finals in 2005-2007. Crown Point could not have gotten a better, more qualified individual to coach their girls' softball team. And, of course, they'll be ranked in the top 4 or 5. They may be ranked number 1. To start season. Maybe rank number 2 behind Penn when the softball season starts.